Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
If you think homosexuality is an unnatural condition, then frankly, I cannot agree with you based on any element of the science. And therefore, if a person's sexuality is as they are made, then you've got to ask the second question. Should, therefore, their loving relationships be legally recognised? And the conclusion I've reached is that they should.
It's Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd speaking earlier this week on the subject of same-sex marriage. Now, he uses a category there that we need to explore a little bit here on Issues Etc., the category of natural or unnatural. And he had some other things to say. We'll be responding to much of what he had to say on the subject of same-sex marriage and homosexuality for the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon. It's the 6th of September. Dr. Robert Gagnon joins us in the first half hour to respond to recent comments made by Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd about homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Eric Andre joins us after that. You might have heard recently President traveling in Sweden, through Sweden, made a stop there and made reference to a Swedish Lutheran who sheltered Jews during the Holocaust. We'll be talking about that man of history with Pastor Eric Andre in the second half hour. In the second hour of the program, Shane Rosenthal joins us. We're going to talk about secularism and our children. He concludes that the church has been complicitous in a focus on this world and has been therefore complicitous with secularism. Bobby Ross Jr. will join us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about media coverage of a story about the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Albert Moeller. We'll discuss a little local flair, some St. Louis Rams football talk with Pro Football Hall of Fame cornerback Roger Worley in future hour of Issues, etc. Then Pastor Charles St. Ange joins us. Part three of our series on Christianity and science. Today we'll be talking about anticipating and thinking about the ethical issues that flow out of good and bad science, good and bad theology. And then it's Friday afternoon. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour. Four soundbites that we'll play for you. We play them, you listen, then you vote, and you pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Robert Gagnon is a regular guest. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, author of The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics. Dr. Gagnon, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We're going to hear a little bit more of this from Kevin Rudd in Australia a little bit later in our conversation, but we heard him at the beginning there talk about homosexuality as either a natural or unnatural act or condition. Is this a biblical way of thinking about this issue, and how is he misunderstanding it, if so?
Well, the Prime Minister clearly misunderstood the nature of what is natural, what Scripture means by something that is contrary to or against nature. I should say at the beginning, I commend the pastor for raising the issue and for his courage in doing so and sticking with it. Unfortunately, he wasn't as well informed as he could have been or in response to the Prime Minister. He also didn't have much of a venue for responding. I would love to have been on the panel with the Prime Minister to address that question. Because he comes across as anyone who disagrees with me is an idiot and doesn't really understand what Scripture says or doesn't understand about the interpretation of Scripture or about the problems that Scripture possesses. And he shows a stark degree of ignorance on his own with regard to each of those issues. As regards what is unnatural, when Paul talks about homosexual practice being unnatural in Romans 1:24-27, what he means by it is not that there are no innate components to homosexual attraction. That's not what he's addressing. By unnatural, he means that the form of behavior that people engage in is contrary to the way in which they have been made as embodied human beings, males and females, compatible, complementary to one another on the level of anatomy, physiology, and psychology.
So Paul's point there isn't that no one's born gay. His point is this is contrary to the physical, biological, and psychological makeup of human beings, regardless of what they think their orientation might be.
Exactly. People can have innate urges to do something that is contrary to nature. That may sound to some people as paradoxical or contradictory, but it's really not. People can have desires to do things which are inconsistent with the way in which they have been made. And that's what Paul is referring to when he talks about suppressing the truth about God that's accessible to people in the material structures of creation, that they're being held culpable not for engaging in acts that they're rightfully ignorant of, but rather they're culpable for things that they ought to know better than to engage in. And what Paul is essentially saying, look, it's not really requiring you to be brilliant here to understand that the proper complement or counterpart to a male is a female and a female a male. You should just be able to intuit that as obvious on the basis of the way they fit anatomically, the way in which they fit physiologically in terms of procreation as a possibility, and even psychologically. Even today we talk about men are from Mars, women are from Venus, as a way of talking about the fact that men and women are fundamentally different from each other, and they're different from each other in ways that complement one another, that moderate the extremes of the given sex and fill in the gaps of the sexual self.
That's what you mean. We've often talked with you, and you've used the term complementarity.
Exactly. It's a way of talking about men and women corresponding to one another as counterparts. Genesis puts it as God making for the Adam a person who is his counterpart, and konegdo is the term that's being used in Hebrew, which is a term drawn from neged, which means both corresponding to and opposite to, and corresponding to in the same of being a fellow human being, and opposite to in terms of sex or gender. And this beautiful image of a woman being coming out of an original human, and thereafter you have a man and a woman, they actually are constituent parts of an integrated sexual whole. The holistic sexual spectrum contains male and female. Man and woman are only half, obviously, each of that spectrum. And when they unite, they bring together a sexual whole, the two halves of the sexual spectrum forming a sexual whole. And that should be obvious to anybody, and just looking at the basic differences between male and female. So if you have an innate desire to be attracted to somebody of the same sex, to merge or unite with them sexually, you're ignoring the whole embodied existence of male and female and ways in which they complement each other.
Let's go into some more detail and respond to some of the things that Kevin Rudd, Australian Prime Minister, had to say earlier this week on the subject of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. He begins by making his first point.
Number one, I do not believe people, when they are born, choose their sexuality. They are gay if they are born gay. You don't decide at some later stage in life to be one thing or the other. It is how people are built. And therefore, the idea that this is somehow an abnormal condition is just wrong. I don't get that. I think that is just a completely ill-founded view.
I wonder, Dr. Gagnon, it sounded a little bit like a contradiction, the last part of his comment, mixed in with the pretty healthy dose of red herring.
Yes. You're very charitable to him, Todd. There's so many avenues that one could go down, so many miscues in his response. He presents as polar opposites, only two real options available. Either it's a matter of complete choice, or you're born that way. And it's simply not the way things work. You know, it's not only, and in some sense, nurturing also becomes nature at a certain point, as we've now become more sophisticated in realizing. And there's a difference between complete choice and born that way. A person could have a predisposing innate factors that increase the likelihood of homosexual development, which then in turn weight as to whether or not that's going to turn out to be the case on the basis of other factors, macrocultural environment factors, the kind of what degree of permission is allowed in society or sanctions against doing certain forms of behavior, microcultural factors, the kind of family you're brought up in, the peer influences that you have, personal psychology and disposition, and incremental choices that a person may make in life, many of which may be blind choices. In other words, you don't know that choice A is going to make it more probable that outcome Z will arise, but it may very well be so. And that's not, we're not saying that people just wake up one morning and say, gee, I think I'll be homosexual. But nonetheless, it's different from saying you were born that way in some sort of deterministic mechanism that nothing that culture or society can do or personal psychology or family upbringing or relationship with peers or personal psychology can ever have any impact on. I mean, that's just absurd. Nobody in the science, even in the science field, they don't accept this, the kind of either this or that proposal in the way that he put it. Then he also added it to the element that this determines whether or not it's normal and natural. Because you have an innate urge to do something, it's normal and natural. My wife worked for 10 years in the prison systems in Massachusetts counseling sex offenders, most of whom were pedophiles. None of them chose this behavioral lifestyle of being a pedophile. Who would choose to be a pedophile if that was an option for them in terms of their attractions? But that's where their attractions were. It was not a matter of complete voluntary choice that they experienced the attractions. Engaging in the behavior, now that's a matter of choice because we're not mere biological robots. Just because we experience an attraction, we don't have to act on it. But they never adopted in the psychology department of the Massachusetts Correctional System, they never adopted the view because active choice was not involved in the experience of impulse by pedophiles, that therefore it was a normal and natural condition.
Dr. Robert Gagnon is our guest. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary and author of The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics. When we come back, we'll hear more from Kevin Rudd, Australian Prime Minister, on homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and get his response.
Yeah, Oktoberfest. Not in Munich, but in Kewaunee, Illinois, at St. Paul's. Sunday, October 13th to the 15th. If you've never been, you really need to come. It's the best party on the block. And our guest this year is Pastor Todd Wilkin of Issues Etc. We have worship and music, a speaker, and then brats and beer and laughter and loads of fun. Call us at 309-852-2461. Leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you. Yeah, Oktoberfest.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to some comments made by Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd about homosexuality and same-sex marriage during this first half hour of the program on this Friday afternoon. Dr. Robert Gagnon is our guest. In the interest of time, let's get to the second point that Kevin Rudd wanted to make in his argument for same-sex marriage. Here it is, Dr. Gagnon.
Secondly, if you accept that it is natural and normal for someone to be gay, because that's the way they are, then it follows from that that I don't think it is right to say that if these two folk here who are in love with each other and are of the same gender should be denied the opportunity for legal recognition of the duration of their relationship by having marriage equality.
Your response, Dr. Gagnon.
Well, he's ignored all the things that we've talked about previously, which is that it's not regarded, is not to be regarded as normal or natural. I'm not sure why the Prime Minister did not extend his comments to support marriage of any number of persons. Why he possibly wanted to limit it to two is beyond me, because the notion of a polyamorous or polysexual orientation, that is, persons who find it very difficult to stay within the parameters of monogamy because they're not limited in their sexual desires only to one other person at the same time, that's as much, even more normal and natural than is a same-sex attraction. And moreover, the whole reason for rejecting a polyamorous union, a sexual union involving three or more persons concurrently, according to Jesus, is that God made us male and female. Two primary sexes, which itself is our clue that God wants to limit the number of persons in a sexual union at any one time or serially to two, because once you bring together those two, the sexual spectrum is closed and a third party is neither necessary nor desirable. So once he's imploded the male-female requirement for marriage, there's no possible reason on the grounds of a nature argument for limiting the number of partners to two, because a polyamorous sexual drive is far more common than a drive involving same-sex attraction.
Next, Prime Minister Rudd responded to the pastor's question. This is a question-and-answer forum. Pastor rose in the audience to ask a question about how the Bible forbids homosexuality.
Well, mate, if I was going to have that view, the Bible also says that slavery is a natural condition. Because St. Paul said in the New Testament, slaves, be obedient to your masters. And therefore, we should have all fought for the Confederacy in the U.S. Civil War. I mean, for goodness sake.
All right. What's your response there?
Well, where does he get from Scripture that slavery is a natural condition? That there is some sort of, some people group, ethnic group, racial group, in which it is a natural condition of life for them to be slaves? He's picking up on ideology in the antebellum American South, pre-Civil War American South, in the 19th century, first half of the 19th century. But there's nothing like that in Scripture. And in fact, even in the Greco-Roman milieu, they don't have that concept. Slavery is not race-based. Rome was an equal opportunity oppressor, basically. And it ran across race, and it was not normally a condition of slavery for life, unless you were consigned to slavery as criminal prosecution. So then you might be assigned to the galleys or to the mines, in which case you would probably die pretty young death. But other slaves actually are slaves only for a particular time of their life, and they're allowed to earn income of their own. And in fact, slaves with education are highly valued. Some slaves actually moved up in terms of status or rank, depending on who their master was, by the time of their release. If we look at Scripture, Scripture does not have any great approving view of slavery. It's just a condition of life. Scripture notes in the Old Testament, you're not to treat your fellow Israelite as a slave because God has released you from Egypt. There are mandatory release dates in the Old Testament for those who are slaves. And Jews who are made slaves are to be able to be redeemed at any point in time by their next of kin, if the next of kin should have money to do so, irrespective of what the master says. And there are also shelters for runaway slaves. Paul urges Philemon to release his slave Onesimus because his slave Onesimus has become a Christian, a fellow Christian, and it's inappropriate in that condition for him to be treated as a fellow slave. All these different elements, they're equating the Bible's view on a male-female requirement for marriage, which is strongly grounded in creation models, according to Jesus and Paul, and to equate that with a condition of servitude that Scripture circumscribes in a whole host of ways in Scripture, is just utterly absurd as an analogy.
So he simply has his facts dead wrong on the position of Holy Scripture vis-a-vis slavery.
The level of ignorance in his utterance is astounding for a person who's supposed to be educated.
Finally,
and a Christian.
Finally, Kevin Rudd, the Australian Prime Minister, explained that opposition to gay marriage is, in effect, opposition to the gospel.
The human condition and social conditions change. What is the fundamental principle of the New Testament? It is one of universal love, loving your fellow man. And if we get obsessed with a particular definition of that through a form of sexuality, then I think we're missing the centrality of what the gospel, whether you call it a social gospel, a personal gospel, or a spiritual gospel, is all about.
Now, Dr. Gagnon, we could obviously disagree on the scope or the definition of the term gospel, but he seems to be saying that if you oppose gay marriage, you are contrary to the fundamental principles of Christianity itself.
Well, here's the absurdity of that. Essentially, you have to contradict the pivotal text in Genesis that Jesus pinpointed as normative for sexual ethics, Genesis 1:27 and 2:24. You'd have to reject what Jesus regarded as foundational for sexual ethics, a male-female requirement, on the basis of which he then limited the number of persons in a sexual union, whether serial or concurrently. You have to reject the entire apostolic witness to Jesus, and Apostle Paul and everyone else, who also adopted this view of a male-female requirement for sexual ethics. Essentially, he would be saying that Jesus, the entire Old Testament, and the entire New Testament apostolic witness to Jesus are not, in fact, good Christians and did not know how to love, which, on the face of it, is just patently absurd. This prime minister is not our Lord and Savior. Jesus is. And he has completely misunderstood what Jesus has had to say on this issue. He's also completely misunderstood the nature of what love is. Now, I don't think anyone's going to argue that Jesus didn't know the meaning of love. And yet what Jesus did is he defined marriage in a very restrictive sense. He talked about love generically as love your neighbor, defined as anyone with whom you might come into contact with, including your enemy. So as expansive a definition of love generically as possible. But when he defined sexual ethics, he said, here's the number of persons that you're allowed to have a sexual relationship in the course of life, one other person of the same sex. And he based that on a male-female requirement given to us in Genesis 1:27 and 2:24, which he says Moses, in effect, cut people a break from, an exemption from, but that does not correspond to God's creation will, and we're going back to God's creation will. So he's confusing the definition here of generic love with standards for sexual ethics. If we really want to apply his position, again, he should be entirely for polyamory involving relationships with three or more persons concurrently, because these people say that they love each other, and apparently he's trying to constrict the definition of love.
If you had 1 minute to make the biblical case on same-sex marriage and homosexuality to Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, how would you go about it? About 1 minute here, Dr. Gagnon.
To make the case against same-sex marriage?
Yes, and homosexuality, the biblical case.
I would start him from Genesis, talk about it, look at the way that male and female are created as complementary sexual pairs so that the two may become one, precisely because according to the image presented in Genesis, the two emerge out of one. They're created as the missing element to each other sexually. Jesus himself, as we noted, pointed back to that definition in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 as normative and prescriptive for all sexual ethics, on the basis of which he was able to limit the number of partners to two because God had created two and only two sexes for sexual pairing, sexual union. Paul himself, when he goes back to it, same thing. He makes appeal to the creation text in both 1:27 and 2:24 of Genesis. He's clearly aware of loving, committed homosexual unions in the ancient world. We have widespread data on that fact. But Paul's, in a sense, saying it's a denial of the way that you have been created in your embodied structures of nature that God has given you in male and female bodies, anatomically, physiologically, and psychologically. You're created to be sexual complements or counterparts to other. This is bedrock scripture from Genesis through Revelation.
Dr. Robert Gagnon is Associate Professor of New Testament at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, author of The Bible and Homosexual Practice, Texts and Hermeneutics. You'll find a link to his website at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Gagnon, thank you very much for your guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back in the second half hour of the program on this Friday, we're going to be talking with Pastor Eric Andre. You might have heard the president while traveling in Sweden make reference to a Lutheran, Swedish Lutheran, who during the Second World War sheltered Jews during the Holocaust. Who was this person that the president referred to, and what's his real story? He's better than just a political soundbite. It's actually a fascinating story of a man who, well, not single-handedly, but was instrumental himself in saving thousands of lives during the Nazi occupation of several countries, in fact. We'll be talking with Pastor Eric Andre, Associate Pastor for Campus Ministry at First Trinity Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, a native of Sweden, and a lecture on the man we're going to be talking about, Raoul Wallenberg, right after this. Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Dr. Paul Grimm, Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on a free weekend event called Prayerfully Consider.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, check out Prayerfully Consider, October the 10th through the 12th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Find out more by calling 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.